This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. A new law that clarifies that divorce can be finalized even when a partner is pregnant goes into effect today in Missouri. Before this week, anyone could file for divorce in Missouri, but many judges in the state interpreted the law to mean divorce couldn't be finalized until after a couple's baby was born. Jefferson County Republican Representative Cecily Williams is the author of the bill, which received bipartisan support in the legislature. When I spoke with her earlier this week, I asked her why she pushed for the new law.
This legislation is important to me. I went to seek a divorce in 2005, and I was denied that right because I was pregnant with my fourth child. I'm a domestic abuse survivor, and I had received probably about 3 weeks prior to me trying to file for divorce, just a really terrible night of abuse, and had finally had my line in the sand where I thought, "This, I can't do this anymore." I had tried to leave several times before, but never was able to stay away. The control and manipulation was just too much, and I wasn't strong enough to stay away. So whenever I healed after that terrible night of abuse, I went to seek a divorce, and I was told that we just don't do that here, meaning in Jefferson County. So I went back home, and they had told me, it's because you're pregnant. We will not finalize the divorce. And I stated that I had a lawful will to file for divorce once I had learned that barrier. And they said, you have to wait till the baby's born. And so I did. And when my son was 10 days old, which was January of 06, I filed for divorce and was going through my divorce proceedings with four young children. And the barrier kept me in a very dangerous situation. I know that I had chosen in the past to stay in that situation, but I had come to the point where I knew I had to do what was best for my children and myself. And that is why I knew I had to leave. Of course, not being able to, there's a lot of things that filing for divorce allows you to do if you're able to go get in an apartment, because now you have your own, you may not be so responsible for that mortgage that you have. You'd be able to go and use your income for an apartment or any sort of help that might be available to you that would make you more successful on your own. And because there's so many times that there's financial abuse that is within those relationships as well. And so that's why this bill is important to me. And it took me about 20 years to get to a point in my life where I was, you know, pretty much my children were getting older and I had the availability to run for office and make that change.
How would the law that is going into effect today have made things different for you?
Well, when you file for divorce, you have those divorce documents, and you can go and seek a new place to live, and you'll be granted that even though you have a current mortgage that your name might be on. You can also, you know, possibly file if your income allows for help with childcare or receiving food assistance or any sort of thing like that if you need it. And not having that can be dangerous. I mean, you don't have that support, that extra support. And while the barrier in the state of Missouri doesn't say that women can't file for divorce, it just says that pregnancy isn't finalized until after the child is born, or divorce isn't finalized until after the child is born. So we have to prevent counties, cities, whoever it might be, from not allowing a pregnant woman to file for divorce. And a lot of times you know, it was, well, it was told to me, one of the reasons why is that we don't want to cram up our judicial system with a divorce decree that's not going to happen until, you know, 7 months later. And even though divorces typically take longer than 9 months, which is a pregnancy. Mm. So I think that by filing for divorce, by granting a divorce, you have that separation. There's a lot of times that's all it takes for your abuser to know they can no longer control you. And there's a lot of other situations where not allowing a pregnant woman to get divorced is just counterproductive. If the woman is pregnant with a baby that's not her husband's, he should not be responsible to support his wife and that child, that, you know, that pregnancy. He shouldn't be forced just because they're legally married. And this law, this change will allow that to, you know, the divorce to go through and be finalized.
When you had introduced this bill, you know, you've shared a lot about your personal experiences. What were some of the stories that you heard from others that maybe illuminated the necessity for a law like this to replace the one, you know, that had existed for, you know, for many decades?
So there were so many stories. There's a lot of people who didn't realize this barrier even existed. And there was specifically to Jefferson County, a young man who was deployed in the military. He was gone for 9 months and he came home and his wife was 5 months pregnant. He too couldn't seek a divorce and finalize his divorce, even though that child was no way his. He is presumed the father until a DNA test proves otherwise. And there was also a situation where a woman decided to become a surrogate and ended up carrying three surrogate children at three separate times and delaying a divorce from her husband purposely. And that is what this barrier has created, was this gray area where people aren't being, you know, allowed to finalize a divorce because of a custody agreement, even though that woman and those children weren't even theirs, that there would be no custody agreement that would need to be settled. Same thing goes if it's a same-sex marriage and if it's two women and one of them, they get pregnant in whatever way suits best for their family. But if they happen to want a divorce, they too couldn't seek a divorce because pregnant women they do not finalize divorces in the state of Missouri if you're pregnant. So for them to use a lot of the different excuses, well, because it's the, you know, we don't want a child born without a father's name on his birth certificate. We don't, you know, we have to come back and determine custody agreements after that child is born, or we have to do all these different things. Ultimately, the number one problem is that we are keeping somebody in a situation they no longer want to be in. And a medical condition shouldn't make someone do that. We don't do that if someone has cancer and they want to get a divorce. We don't make them wait until after their cancer diagnosis is completely finished, or, you know, their treatments are finished before we deem a divorce. In the state of Missouri, we're a no-fault divorce state. So if somebody wants to get divorced, they get divorced. The only thing that prevents that is pregnancy. And I think that there are a lot of different ways that we can make sure that we're doing what's right to protect the people of Missouri and allowing them to dissolve a marriage regardless of the pregnancy status.
Representative Williams, you mentioned earlier gray areas, and in a moment we're going to hear from family law attorney Kirk Stange. Kirk is concerned that the new law here in Missouri doesn't provide clear statutory language on how a court is supposed to handle custody, you know, paternity and child support for a child who has not yet been born. And he says that other states have enacted express statutory mechanisms for separating marital status from issues that must be resolved later, and that Missouri has not done so. What would you say to that critique? you know, that the legislation could have been clearer about how judges should implement this new law?
Well, and I'm not a lawyer by any means. I just make laws. However, there wasn't any statutes that were raised when it comes to the what would happen after the child is born and how, what are the custody rights. There are a lot of different things that could affect that. Number one being how that child is nourished. And if that child is, you know, if it's breastfed, then obviously that custody agreement is going to be totally different than someone else's, or if that child is born with special needs. And I think that it's on a case-by-case basis, but we felt strongly as legislators that the judges and could choose how they would want to move forward with that per each individual case. And I think that that's, you know, whatever would work best for their families. If it is determined, you know, there are times when you are filing, when you're going through a divorce, that they make post-divorce judgments, meaning, you know, if your children are 10 years old, they will disclose what happens if one of the parents are would happen to move out of their school district. Where does that, you know, where does the residency lie with that? Or when they go to college, that child support could reduce to this amount, or, you know, someone, this person is responsible for paying their college tuition. So they have made mechanisms to, you know, to fund or to, you know, make decisions for future things that happen whenever you're divorcing. Oftentimes divorces, you come back to court many times for modifications. And I think that there could be some mechanism that would state, upon this child's birth, this would be the custody arrangement. And then if, you know, they were needing to have to come back, then that could be something that would happen. But I think it's important that we leave it up to the judges and the lawyers to determine at that time what's going to best fit the needs of their clients. And so that's why there wasn't statutes put in there. I am more than willing to talk with Mr. Sangi about those statutes that he thinks might, you know, make this a bit easier for lawyers and judges, and, you know, be able to file that and get that moving through the state house as well.
Mm-hmm. What are your hopes for how this law may change things for Missouri couples and families?
Well, I think that this law will change a lot of things. There are a lot of divorces that aren't finalized because of this barrier, and especially in the case of domestic abuse, not being able to provide that separation from your spouse is incredibly important. Oftentimes, abuse escalates whenever you're pregnant, and intimate partner violence is the number one cause of death in pregnant women. And that is, it's homicide. That's startling. And we have barriers that are preventing that from happening. And I think that this will give families and women the opportunity to be on, you know, to go out on their own in an abusive relationship and be able to protect themselves and their children, which is the most important thing.
That was Missouri Representative Cecily Williams of Jefferson County. She sponsored the new Missouri law that allows couples to finalize divorce during pregnancy. That law goes into effect today. If you or someone you know is experiencing domestic abuse, you can reach the National Domestic Violence Hotline by calling 800-799-7233. That's 800-799-SAFE. Or text the word START to 88788. We need to take a quick break. When we return, a family law attorney will share his concerns regarding how the law may be implemented in the courts. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Starting today, Misery couples can finalize a divorce regardless of pregnancy. For decades, that's not been the case. That hasn't been because of a law written explicitly to prohibit divorce that involves a pregnant partner. Instead, it's been judges' interpretation of a 1973 statute that required petitions for divorce to indicate a wife's pregnancy status. A new law that takes effect today clarifies that judges can finalize a couple's divorce even during pregnancy. From the perspective of family law attorney Kirk Stange, that does open the door for divorce between couples in which one partner is pregnant, but he also sees other doors opening that won't necessarily make finalization of divorce in such cases easier. Kirk Stange joins us now to share why. Kirk, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get your reaction first to the law. When you saw that this was new legislation going into effect, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think in today's society, it's not a problem to allow people to get divorced while the wife is pregnant. That's not the issue. I think back in the day, there was a stigma attached to it, like kids born out of wedlock. I used to hear judges, I've been practicing 26 years now, and they would use the language, we would be bastardizing the child, which is a crude way of putting it, by allowing the divorce while the wife was still pregnant. But I mean, I have no problem with allowing individuals to get, or couples to get divorced while pregnant. The issue is just the language in the statute, to me, in doing this 26 years, is going to cause some legal problems.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the complications that you see arising in the courts with this new law?
Sure. And I heard the legislator and what she said. And obviously, I'm very sympathetic to her fact situation and what she went through, and being a family law attorney for 26 years. I mean, it's one of the hardest areas of law to practice in. I mean, the stories people tell and what people go through, it truly breaks your heart. But the issue is this, and it's hard to kind of break it down from a legal sense, but Section 452 is the divorce statutes in Missouri. Section 210 is what's called the Uniform Parentage Act. Historically, when we deal with custody in the divorce context, we do it under Section 452, which is the divorce statutes. If people had a child and they were never married, you would handle custody under Section 210, which is the paternity statute. So if you divorce individuals while wife is still pregnant, the issue then is, where do you litigate custody? Do you do it under 452, which is the divorce statutes, or do parties have to go back to Section 210, which is the Uniform Parentage Act? And there's nothing in the statute that really delineates it. So I see scenarios where people will attempt to do it under one section or the other, and then somebody won't like the result, and you'll end up with an appeal based on the statutory issues. And so what other states have done to clear this up, and again, I'm not a legislature. I don't want to be one, right? I have no interest in politics. It's funny. I just wrote a blog article, and this sort of blew up, mm-hmm. and everybody wants to interview me on it. I blog on a lot of family law topics. I mean, that's what I do. It's the area of law I practice in. But Illinois, what they do is will grant the divorce, and then they allow other issues to be reserved, to be heard later. California, for example, permits a status-only divorce, so you get the people divorced, you can deal with custody, support, property, and debt division another day. Colorado has this in their statute language that allows the court to defer these issues. Pennsylvania specifically calls it bifurcation. Mm-hmm. Washington also has similar language. So I just think that it would have been helpful, and it would save parties a lot of money in fees if our statute was clear and it told people how to do this. The most simplistic way to do it would be grant the divorce, you bifurcate it, and once that baby's born, then the parties could deal with custody under 452, which is the divorce statute. But there's no language specifically authorizing bifurcation in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And what is bifurcation?
Yeah, bifurcation is where, again, you grant the divorce, but then you bifurcate or separate the other issues. So you see this in California all the time with Hollywood celebrities. You get them divorced, and then you deal with the house and the cars and the property and the debt and the custody later. Like you mm-hmm. would see this with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, right? You get them divorced, and you bifurcate, and you separate these issues. It would be great if that was in Missouri statutes, but it's not. And so the issue you get into, again, you get the people divorced, the baby's not born before the divorce, then what do parties do? The representative says parties can just file a modification. Again, with all due respect as a lawyer, that's not accurate because a modification modifies an existing custody order. But in this instance, there is not an existing custody order. You got the people divorced. There's no paternity or custody order. So these parties can't simply file a modification. The statute 452.410, you can't modify something that doesn't exist. This is an original action. So the question is, can you bifurcate it and then deal with it under 452? That would seem like the most plausible explanation. Otherwise, what parties are going to have to do, which I suspect what people are going to end up doing in a lot of cases, are going to then file a separate case under the Uniform Parentage Act. We call it a paternity case. And so people think, well, we got divorced, the drama ends. Well, it doesn't, because now you have to deal with the paternity case in a separate action. And then, you know, for fathers, it can put them at a little bit of a disadvantage. We have a new shared parenting law that went into effect that makes 50-50 custody a presumption. But if the fathers have to then go back and file the paternity case, that can take months.
So this time factor is also very important.
It's a huge issue. It really is, where if they had simply put bifurcation language in the statute and follow the model of one of these other states I mentioned, then I think the statute is very workable, but it's just not there.
I want to get to some of the cases that were mentioned by Representative Williams and what you have seen in your experience. How common are the kinds of cases or the scenarios that were described?
Well, I mean, it's not terribly common. I mean, most people, when they're getting a divorce, they're not engaging in sexual relations where pregnancy occurs. So, I mean, I would put this on a minority of cases, but I've certainly seen it. I've had two male clients, and she mentioned this as an example, who were very upset when they were separated from their wives. Their wife got pregnant by another man, and they couldn't get divorced. And so that's another kind of ironic piece of this. This has been kind of put out there as wonderful for women, and I'm not saying it's not, but it's also wonderful for men who want to be divorced when they're not the father. So, it happens. The other thing the representative says, which is interesting, she says is the only reason the court cannot grant the divorce is pregnancy. That's actually inaccurate. A court can deny divorce in Missouri if the court finds the marriage is not irretrievably broken. So I've seen judges deny divorces where parties are still engaging in sexual relations during the divorce. And so that's still going to be out there. I mean, a judge theoretically could say, well, I'm not going to deny the divorce due to pregnancy because I can't do that anymore. But if husband and wife are still having sexual relations, I'm going to find that this marriage is not irretrievably broken, and I will deny the divorce. And so that issue isn't solved here either. I mean, I've seen judges do it. I know that blows a lot of people's mind away when you say no-fault divorce, but I've seen judges deny divorce for that exact reason.
And no-fault divorce is, just to clarify,
I mean, fault divorce is where somebody has an affair, there's domestic violence, there's abandonment. But see, these pieces then get considered in the disposition of the case. But to get divorced on a non-contested basis, you have to say the marriage is irretrievably broken. And again, I've seen cases where the parties are having sexual relations and the judge says, well, doesn't look irretrievably broken to me.
You mentioned the blog post that you wrote, and you've been doing a lot of media appearances. Does it surprise you that there is this much attention to this new law?
It really does. I mean, I've been blogging for, goodness, I've been a lawyer 26 years, so I've been blogging a long time. But this one definitely gained a lot of traction and a lot of steam. And again, I'm with the representative on allowing divorce during pregnancy. I think it's fine in today's society. Let's do it. It's best for the people if we amend the statute in a way that allows bifurcation. That's going to make things run a lot smoother. I know this as well. If they don't fix the statute, it's fine. Lawyers like me will make a lot more money litigating these cases in terms of what statute to apply. But that's bad for the folks, and that's the issue.
What would you say as we close here? In the next year, I mean, what do you think it's going to look like with this new law in place?
It's just confusing because, I mean, some people are going to argue that the court has the inherent authority to bifurcate, and whether they do or not is going to be a real legal issue because it's not in the statute. You'll have some lawyers file a paternity case after the divorce is over, and then you're going to get into whether that's the proper mechanism. And then the representative said this, I think this is big trouble. She said, well, the court could do a custody order while the wife is still pregnant. I think that's big trouble because to weigh the best interest of the child, you have to weigh all sorts of factors. And if you don't even know anything about the child, really, because it's not born, beside maybe it's sex, and you don't, particularly with the first child, you don't know if the mom's a great mom, if the dad's a great dad, or if they're not. I think if the court enters a custody order as to an unborn child in the womb, somebody doesn't like that result, they're going to appeal it and say the court can't weigh the best interest of the child for a child that isn't born. I mean, some are going to say it's a fetus. We have abortion in this state now under a constitutional amendment. The court can't even do that. So I just see these three scenarios, and all three of them, to me, lead to lots of appeals, lots of attorney fees, lots of litigation. This is great for the lawyers, great for people like me, but not great for the average people. So I would love it. Again, I'm not a politician. I'm not going to tell people how to do their job. But for me as a lawyer, if they would simply follow the model of some of these other states and allow the court by statute to bifurcate, we would make this 100 times better.
Kurt Stange is a St. Louis family law attorney. Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Kurt Stange is a St. Louis family law attorney. Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.